As the Green Bay Packers enter off-season mode, a couple items from Mike McCarthy in his season-ending press conference seemingly set the table for not only the off-season, but the 2016 season to come. We're going to tackle those issues head-on with Nate Rau, business reporter for the Tennessean. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for the offseason. We got a lot of things to talk about. We have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Nate Rau, reporter, business reporter for the Tennessean, and more importantly, at least for this show, a longtime Packers fan as well. Nate, how you doing today?
Good, Brian. Thanks for letting me come talk to Packers with you again.
Yeah, the last time we had you on the show, if I remember correctly, it was the day after the Packers NFC Championship loss to the Seattle Seahawks. It was quite a somber episode. We're still talking after a playoff loss, but I suppose it's not in the immediate aftermath, so a little bit better situation.
It's funny because when I watched the Seahawks game, knowing I was coming on your show the next day totally colored how I watched that game. And I really wanted the Packers to win, not just for the obvious reasons, but I wanted to be able to come on, you know, Railbird, talk about the Packers pulling off a big win, but that's okay.
We may do with what we had, I guess. But it was a great interview nonetheless. We're glad to have you back on, Nate. I wanted to pick your brain about a couple items coming out of Mike McCarthy's season-ending press conference, items that I think will have an impact on the rest of the offseason and the season to come, starting with his comments on Clay Matthews moving back to outside linebacker. Do you think that's the right thing for the Packers to do?
Well, first of all, on McCarthy's press conference that you mentioned, I think because I'm a newspaper reporter, I probably pay more attention to his press conferences than maybe the average fan. I try to stream every one that I can, mm-hmm. You know, even if I'm working. And he's sort of your typical coach, in my opinion, in that he for strategic reasons, I'm guessing, and internal political reasons, he doesn't want to give too much away. Mm-hmm. He doesn't offer roster analysis. He doesn't criticize players. And I think for that reason, when he does those things, when he does offer roster analysis, as a Packers fan, your ears perk up a little bit. And like you said, at his end of the season press conference, he was, I want to say, more candid than about his roster in a few areas than I've ever heard of. On Clay in particular, he flatly said he's an outside linebacker and we've got to get him back at outside linebacker. And I think down the stretch of the season, you can see why he would say that. Clay's tackle numbers went down. His number of big plays seemed to go down. He got some good quarterback rushes in both playoff games, but I do think that's his natural position. And I also think it's not too soon to talk about putting Matthews on sort of a pitch count, kind of like what they've been doing with Peppers, because he's worn down. You tell me what you think. It seems to me like he's worn down a little bit at the end of the season. And I'm guessing playing inside backer and having to chase running backs and flip in the coverage and put more wear and tear on his legs is part of the reason for that.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I haven't really thought of that before you brought it up. But as far as front seven guys, Clay Matthews plays more snaps than any other player on the team probably. And it does make sense that, you know, if you at least take him off now and again, not full time or, you know, not series at a time, perhaps, but here and there, that definitely could increases productivity. I kind of like that. On the offensive side of the football, Nate, Mike McCarthy's talked about the offensive struggles and mentioned that so many people have suggested that the problems have been the speed of the wide receivers, but he said it goes beyond that, kind of suggesting that the missing ingredient is a big dynamic player that can kind of stretch the seam over the middle of the field, a big tight end or a wide receiver the Packers used to have in both JerMichael Finley and Jordy Nelson. To what extent do you believe it's the lack of speed, or what extent do you believe it's what Mike McCarthy said?
Well, I think it's like a classic example of, the coach knowing more about this is obvious, but the coach knowing more about the sport and his team than the average fan. Because as I watched the season, it irritated me that they couldn't stretch the field more, even though Jones statistically had a lot of big plays down the field. And so I naturally assumed, okay, they got to get some more speed on the outside. They had some speed on the outside sitting on their bench most of the season in Jeff Janis, but McCarthy saw it differently, and he said the way that they were getting pressed, they got to get big guys, big targets who can run down. I think the question was about the wide receivers, and the answer was, well, whether it's a wide receiver or a tight end, which my ears perked up when he said that, we got to get guys, big guys that can run down the middle of the field. And he said, we haven't had that, and when you don't have it, you see what you saw. And he even singled out the first play of the Arizona game. When the Packers were three wide, if I remember McCarthy's description correctly, and the Cardinals had eight in the box, and the other three guys were man right on top of them. So he seems to be saying what they need, what this offense needs to combat that, are big guys that can run down the middle of the field. And I can't say I disagree with him. I know you pointed out Richard Rodgers is not that sort of threat. Jordy was hurt, and they didn't have anybody who could do that. So I tend to agree with him.
Yeah, it's James Jones. It's kind of interesting how a guy without speed could have been a downfield threat. Most of the time, it was on the sidelines and not over the field, not over the middle, I should say. But yeah, I'm right there with Mike McCarthy. I can see that totally. Speaking of Mike McCarthy, now that the season is over and the Packers have underachieved, their streak of four straight NFC North titles came to an end and lost to each of their division rivals at home. How secure is Mike McCarthy's job going forward, do you think?
And this is another thing where I don't know if my perspective is maybe just slightly different than the typical fan because I'm a reporter. But if you saw the coverage after the season, and I think maybe even one of these columns was written or shortly before the playoffs or maybe before the Arizona game, but you saw the beat reporters sort of start to beat around the bush. Has McCarthy been there too long? And I think you saw, I believe it was Doherty, you correct me if I'm wrong, who did a column about the amount of the gap between Super Bowl wins by coaches. McGinn, the Packers have the best beat reporters. I mean, I'm a huge, there's no better group of beat reporters on it following any team than those guys. And McGinn was right about his criticisms of McCarthy. He seemed to have some personnel mistakes at left tackle, at wide receiver, maybe a cornerback, maybe a middle linebacker, maybe a running back. So I definitely think it's okay to second guess the coach. My whole thing is I'm in Nashville, okay? The Titans fans here are beleaguered. They would kill to have our horrible down season, our underachieving season, our miss the mark season, our anytime we had a 50-50 game, it seemed like the Packers lost. They would kill to have a 10-6 in a playoff win, and that's the down season. So yeah. I'm a huge Mike McCarthy fan. I think he has a track record of trying to incorporate change each season. This year, did it work with the play calling and the coaching shakeup? No, but I admire him for being willing to do that, and I think that's why he's had such longevity. And we're one season removed from record-setting offense, right? So I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. They have to make changes. They have to add some of the things that McCarthy himself said. And I think if they do that, they'll be right back where we were used to seeing.
Well, now that we've discussed a few items, I think we know a couple areas the Packers need to address in the offseason if Mike McCarthy is going to keep his job and improve going forward. And that makes the perfect segue into what else is happening this week, and that's the Senior Bowl, the top college football all-star game. I've asked Nate before the show to come up with his top prospects at just a couple positions: wide receiver, tight end, and inside linebacker. So we're going to kind of focus just there today. But Nate, let's go back to the inside linebacker position. We think Clay Matthews is going to move to outside linebacker, so the Packers got to get somebody there. Give me the top guy you're looking at from the South squad in the Senior Bowl and what you'll be watching this week.
Well, I mean, Reggie Ragland is playing outside linebacker this week, but I think he's an inside linebacker in the NFL. And I man, if the Packers had the first pick, certainly a top five pick, he might be the guy I would want them to take. I just think he's a difference maker. He's got the size, he can cover, he plays like his life's on the line each week. I can't think of a better fit in this entire draft where you match up talent versus need versus what the Packers look for than Reggie Ragland.
Do you think there's any chance he could slip down to what the Packers pick 26, I believe?
26, 27. I mean, no, I don't. But I don't see there's holes on this team at maybe for depth. I think if they can re-sign one of their outside backers, if they can re-sign one of their defensive tackles, I'm not seeing glaring holes at the starter level. And therefore, I think this is the season, and I know this is, there's no point even talking about this, but I think this is the season to trade up in the draft. I mean, you just don't have these glaring, you're going to have starters back at every position. You're going to have key backups back at several positions. This is the year, and you're going to have the two extra draft picks, which you've written about, hopefully in the fourth and fifth round. So I think this is the year you trade up for a Reggie Ragland, if you can.
Okay, let's take a look at the North squad inside linebackers there. Let's just assume Reggie Ragland's off the board. I mean, what are their options maybe with some other guys maybe from the North squad?
Well, and I think the football gods are being cruel to the Packers this year because there's not a lot of inside linebacker immediate help that I see on the way on either squad. The guy that intrigues me, and you follow this stuff so much more closely than I do, is Joshua Perry. I know he's listed as an outside linebacker, and that's more what he played at Ohio State. And I actually think I just saw Patrick Wu from the Senior Bowl tweet. He's not going to be playing this week now, so I don't know if he's
Oh,
injured. But
interesting.
he's a big guy like Ragland. He's a tackle machine. He's a good athlete. And I think he could sort of be that strong side inside backer that it seems like the Packers need. I know that that's a position switch, and maybe he's not on people's radar screen, but Demaryius Randall was a position switch last year, and Perry's got the skill set they need. And I think that's about the range he'll be drafted.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes those 4-3 outside backers, I don't think it's always like a huge move to be moving. You know, I think there's a difference between a first level linebacker and a second level linebacker, between the types of guys who play on the line of scrimmage and the types of guys who play off the line of scrimmage. I don't always think it's a huge transition, but I mean, it's not insignificant either.
Yeah, and you know, I think some of the other guys on the north side, and maybe even on the south side too, they're just a little small for what the Packers typically want inside. There are a lot of them guys in the 230 range. Some of the bigger guys, you know, are at the 240 range. So I was kind of focusing on guys a little bit bigger. Although with Joe Thomas, maybe the Packers will look at some of these small guys. Kentrell Brothers is the other guy. I mean, he's a very prolific tackler and sure tackler. So I don't know. He's someone that intrigues me. Certainly not in the first round, but maybe on day two.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Let's switch to the offensive side of the football and wide receiver. Let's go to the South squad. Nate, who's your number one guy you're looking at on the South at the wide receiver position?
Well, I had McCarthy's comments on my mind and was looking at big guys, and there's just not a lot of them. But I think I tweeted at you, McRoberts from SEMO intrigues me because he's 6'3", and because he's very productive at the FCS level. And I'm just curious to see how he does this week going up against the top seniors at FBS level.
Okay, so McRoberts from Southeast Missouri, which would be SEMO. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see him against the better competition. On the north side, who's the number one prospect you're watching at wide receiver on the north?
Well, I like Braxton Miller. I want to see what Braxton Miller does. I mean, someone compared him on Twitter to Randall Cobb, but he's about 2 or 3 inches and 20 pounds bigger than Cobb. And for that reason, he seems to fit the big guy. He said, Braxton Miller said he studies Randall Cobb. So I'm curious to see if there's a bigger Randall, which the Packers need. They thought that would be Ty Montgomery. This guy's even bigger than Ty Montgomery. So at least he's not, I'm thinking more 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", 220. He's not that big. But I'm curious to see if he's a bigger version of the slot guys the Packers have.
Yeah, I wonder if just maybe part of that comparison is the fact that Randall Cobb was kind of a quarterback for a while in college, and so was Braxton Miller. Maybe that's where that's coming from more than anything, but I definitely see where you're going at, though. There's been a lot of buzz around Braxton Miller as a guy who's wasn't used a ton at Ohio State as a wide receiver, but maybe has the potential to grow into a whole lot more at the pro level. Nate, if we look at the tight end position now, let's go back to the South. Number one tight end on the South squad.
Well, I think he's on the South squad, but Bryce Williams from Eastern Kentucky seems to fit what McCarthy was talking about.
East Carolina, I think, right?
East Carolina, I'm sorry. I don't recall. I think he's on the South squad, so correct me if I'm wrong on that. But he's 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", 250, 260 range, and mm-hmm. he was a prolific. If you look at his statistics, he was definitely used as a receiver, even though he's got that big size. So he intrigues me. And again, like I said at the beginning, it's disappointing. There aren't a lot of great receiving tight ends in this draft, nonetheless, at the senior bowl. But I think the best options are juniors, so. But he's one that does interest me.
Yeah, and I can't blame you for not knowing who's north or south. They don't exactly adhere to those rules to a T in the Senior Bowl. But if we look at the north squad, then that's a tight end that intrigues you. Who's the best tight end in your estimation?
Well, Vannett from Ohio State. I mean, and I think he's a legitimate day two prospect for the Packers. Mm-hmm. Everyone I hear says he is a good receiver. He is a good athlete. He wasn't used that way. But I like the fact that he was used as a blocker. I mean, the Packers are still going to want to run the ball.
Yep.
And he could be an upgrade on Richard Rodgers on both fronts, and you could get him in the second round.
Very good. I think this is a very good primer for the Senior Bowl, Nate, something to watch for. As the practices are even televised this week on ESPNU, I believe it is. So be interesting to watch that, watch the game. So I think that's good that we went through a couple guys. Nate, before we let you go, I last time you were on, I asked you for a music suggestion, seeing as you cover the music industry in Nashville. Something I haven't forgotten about, because you suggested the name Sturgill Simpson, and since that time, that's been a name I've noticed. Seems to be a guy who's gaining steam in the music industry. So I want to try this again for our listeners out there. Can you give me a musical suggestion as I go through my work day here?
Yeah, I've got two for you.
Okay.
One is a country artist, because you can't not suggest a country artist coming from Nashville.
Exactly.
Brandi Clark is in the same vein as Sturgill Simpson. She was an independent artist and songwriter, worked her way up. She's on a major label, Atlantic Records, and her first major label album comes out this year. But if you look Brandi Clark up on Spotify, her first album was a work of genius, nominated for a Grammy, and she's definitely someone to check out. And then Nashville, a lot of people don't know this if you're not from here, although increasingly this is the case, but we have a great indie rock scene. And one band that's caught my attention is a band called All Them Witches. And regardless of what you think of the band name, they're really talented group of guys. And you just can't judge bands by band names anymore. It's totally irrelevant. But they're a great band. So check them out on Spotify. All Them Witches.
Yeah, well, I'm a fan of the jam band scene, and I'm well aware you can't judge a band by its name. So, Nate, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it. Glad to talk a little football with you, and we'll do it again sometime.
Hey, I just want to say you are doing an amazing service for Packer fans, Brian. What you're so prolific. Your analysis is spot on. And just thank you so much for what you do. Your presence on social media, I just really appreciate it. It adds to my love of the Packers.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And again, Nate, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Nate Rau, beat reporter for the business reporter for the Tennessean, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, a few notes here from things that have transpired over the past 48 hours since our last episode. I think one of the big things was wide receiver Randall Cobb speaking on the record for the first time since being knocked out of the playoff game at Arizona. He talked to USA Today Network Wisconsin Bureau, now part of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. I don't even know how to explain that anymore. There's so many weird synergies and collaborations between media outlets nowadays. But anyway, all you got to do, go to PackersNews.com. You'll find the article with Randall Cobb. I kind of summed it up a little bit at 24/7 Sports as well. Randall Cobb confirming that he had a bruised lung in the playoff game. This, of course, knocked him out of the game. Not only that, but kept him in an Arizona hospital overnight for observation. And that alone probably, perks up your ears a little bit and makes you a little bit worried and wondering what's Randall Cobb's status. Well, perhaps the best news to come out of that is that Cobb didn't expect any complications from the injury, anything that would prevent him from training in the off season or anything like that. Maybe something he said he had to monitor, but nothing that's going to physically prevent him from doing anything, at least during the off season. So, that's good news on that front, I suppose. Relatively good news considering what happened. So Randall Cobb speaking about that was one item that, happened. Also being very kind of self-deprecating, maybe not in a humorous manner, but Cobb is part of that interview, was asked to, assess his 2015 season and saying, I didn't get the job done. He doesn't feel like he got a passing grade. Kind of spoke in general terms about his, relatively poor performance, I guess you could say, and I use that in a relative term. It wasn't like Randall Cobb was bad by any means, but definitely a step down from the previous season, and maybe that's not all his fault. Randall Cobb kind of speaking a little bit candidly as well in the aftermath of the season. It was just good to hear from him more than anything, seeing as nobody got that opportunity, right after the season, after the Packers lose, he wasn't in the locker room. When they come back and, they clear out that locker room for the final time, he wasn't available to the media. So it was good to hear from Randall Cobb on Tuesday in an article published by USA Today Network, Wisconsin Bureau. Other news, Julius Peppers has been named to his 9th Pro Bowl. He is one of many replacements. The guy he's replacing, though, is Denver Broncos outside linebacker Von Miller, who, of course, has the legitimate excuse of playing in the Super Bowl. So Peppers will replace him. He'll be playing this upcoming Sunday in the NFL's annual All-Star Game. And, he's one of what I guess is a record number of players bowing out of the Pro Bowl. You've probably have heard, because the Packers have their own quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, bowed out with a so-called injury, and maybe he does have some bumps and bruises in which he'd rather, kind of let heal up. Obviously, there was nothing glaring about an injury to Aaron Rodgers, because he got through the team's last game in the divisional round playoff, just fine. And you assume if they would have happened to won that game, Aaron Rodgers would have been playing in the NFC Championship as well. So nothing that probably was so bad that would have kept him out of a game. That being said, it is a meaningless exhibition game. And, you know, they are still playing tackle football in the Pro Bowl. Why take the chance that you could get injured in that, you know, environment as well? There's kind of that angle to think about when you see guys bowing out of the Pro Bowl, which has opened the door for Julius Peppers and many others. It's almost getting the point. I think I've seen people say, you know, suggest it. If you started all season in the NFL, you know, you're a guy who is, you know, there from game one to game 16. You're pretty much almost in the Pro Bowl at this point, which is a little bit of an exaggeration, but almost to the extent that, you know, it's almost, there's a little bit of truth to that, or, you know, you can see that and understand that a little bit. But regardless, if you enjoy the Pro Bowl for what it is, just a fun, you know, game, a chance to see players in a Packer uniform one final time. And if you got kids who like it, especially, I mean, there you go. There's another guy representing the Packers on Sunday evening. I can't say I watched the Pro Bowl, but I know I can think back to my days when I was young, my elementary and middle school days, and did enjoy it. You know what? I would cheer on the Packers in the Pro Bowl for meaningless reasons, but that's what you do when you're a kid. And I guess from that aspect, from that standpoint, that's what you do. Next segment of the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers today, appropriately, Wednesday night is the Pro Bowl draft. Yeah, since the NFL scrapped the old AFC versus NFC format, the Packers players, all four of them, Julius Peppers in addition to Clay Matthews, John Kuhn, and Josh Sinton, they're all going to hear their name called tonight by team's captain by, and they break this up by Team Rice, Team Jerry Rice, and Team Irvin, Team Michael Irvin, former NFL legends that kind of act as captains, I guess. In fact, not only players, I guess it's going to be the coaching staff is going to be drafted as well tonight. You know, Mike McCarthy and the rest of the Packers coaching staff representing one of the teams. They don't know yet. They'll find out tonight. That'll be televised on ESPN. I forget, is it like 7:30 p.m. Eastern, something like that, happening live out in Hawaii. Yeah, it'll be televised nationwide. No matter where you are in the USA, you'll be able to check that out Wednesday evening as they learn which team they are on. In addition to that, not just the Pro Bowl draft on TV, but also Senior Bowl practices, perhaps something a little bit more important to the future of the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, Packers have sent scouts, personnel types, personnel executives, and I don't think there's any assistant coaches there because they're all in Hawaii. But, you know, the Packers, front office types are there in Mobile, Alabama, watching practices up close and personal, getting a look at these prospects and seeing what talent is on the table for the NFL draft. So those are being televised today. I believe it's on ESPNU. I don't believe they're quite live. I think they're tape delayed. I don't know if they're adding elements to the recording or things like that. You'll have to check the listings. So you will be able to see Senior Bowl practices televised on ESPNU, or if you have the Watch ESPN app, it's available on ESPN3 as well. However you want to check things out, and I know they have a recap as well on the NFL networks in the evening, so both Wednesday and Thursday, those will be available. So you can see what the scouts see from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. So check it out Wednesday evening, whenever it is. Like I said, check the listings yourself. I don't know them off the top of my head, but I know it's available too. The Packers fan out there who's interested in watching. And that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you everybody so much for joining us this morning. Thanks to Nate Rao of the Tennessean for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. As we wrap up, my call to action, as usual, as always, if you haven't already, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a rating or a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. If you could do us a solid, search Cheesehead TV on iTunes, you'll find us. And just give us a brief little rating and a review. Doesn't have to be anything long, but we'd greatly appreciate it. We'll see you, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday. We got Pigskin Paul Guillemette joining us again live from the site of the Senior Bowl, going over what happened during the week of practice after he got to see the players up close. We'll get his thoughts then. So looking forward to that. 8:30 a.m. Central Time, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the live edition of the show, podcasted later in today, later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Betray the Dark by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go.